It's Thursday, September 14th, 2006. You're moving at the speed of creativity with Wesley Fryer, narrowcasting from Edmond, Oklahoma. Good evening, and welcome to a rather impromptu podcast that was recorded yesterday following a seminar that I gave here in the state of Oklahoma in Bing School District, which is near Ardmore, about an hour and a half away from where I live, north of Oklahoma City. And this was a discussion with Richard Shearer, who is the Director of Technology for Wynnewood School District, a small Oklahoma school district that has been moving towards open office as a solution for desktop productivity software. And as you may have heard me mention previously in regards to open source technology, I really think when we analyze the type of functionality that most of our computers in many schools are actually used for, they're what we have termed productivity applications, but what we hear the University of Michigan professor Elliot Soloway term clerical applications. We're not talking about high-end stuff. We're generally talking about real basic things like surfing the web, utilizing word processors, spreadsheets, presentation tools, things like that. And while I am not in favor at all of limiting computer access to clerical applications, I do think that the most fiscally responsible thing for schools to do when it comes to computer systems that are being used exclusively for these types of tasks is to look for open source solutions that can allow school districts to escape the real treadmill of upgrades that software companies, in some cases, would like to have us on. I really think we want students doing far more than simple word processing, spreadsheet creation, and presentation creation. I think we want them to be writing the web. I think we want them to be creating digital stories. I think we want them to be engaged in media content creation. And for those kind of tasks, I think good arguments can be made for other types of software solutions. I'm thrilled to be back on my MacBook, specifically for this podcast, again using Ubercaster, which I think is a fantastic podcasting tool. It's still in beta. But, you know, for the production of media, where I've used a variety of different software tools, I'm always going to choose, when I can, the most powerful tool available, and especially the one that doesn't have any viruses or spyware. But anyway, I don't want to digress too much on that. I want to get right to Richard and have him speak to you about why should schools rent their software when they can own them for free. As usual, I will include some links in the podcast show notes to the resources that are referenced in this presentation, specifically OpenOffice and the Macintosh version of OpenOffice, which is called NeoOffice. And if you haven't given these software tools a try, I would really encourage you to do so. The price is right. They are free. And if, like Richard, you find yourself in a situation where your technology budget is stretched and you're looking for ways to do more with less, you may be able to stop paying for some of those software licenses that are for productivity software and instead join the open source movement and find not only robust power but also a degree of financial freedom because of the free nature of these software tools. Here with Richard Shearer, who's Technology Director for Wynnewood School District in Oklahoma. And we were having a conversation about open source, and I was excited to hear that Richard has not only looked at OpenOffice, but actually started to implement that. And so just wanted to invite him to tell a little bit about what his experiences have been so far. And maybe you want to start by just talking about the background. I mean, how did you end up looking at an open source solution, and how did you get your superintendent to actually give you a green light to move forward, even if it was on a limited basis with that?
Well, being from a small rural school, the bottom line is always the issue. And dealing with your licensed products, even though the licenses are fairly inexpensive at, say, $50 or $70 a unit, when you have 300, 500 units, it adds up pretty quickly. One of the things with open source is now most open source is as good, if not better, than its commercial equivalent. And in the case of open office, when all a student is doing is a basic spreadsheet or a basic presentation and doesn't really require all the bells and whistles that's in the commercial products, it's as an excellent resource. It's free. And that allows us to put it on more, have the students have more access to these tools than we're limited by the licensed products.
Right. So how big are you all, and what were you looking at in terms of cost for, let's say, Microsoft Office in terms of licensing?
The licensing for Microsoft Office was $70 per unit per year. And for 300 units, I mean, do the math, is a significant amount. And the question came up, why are we renting software? Because that's what it amounts to, is you're just renting it. You don't own it. And why rent when you can own? So for the laboratories that actually teach Microsoft Office, we used that same money and purchased copies. So now we own them.
Okay.
Her curriculum does not have to change when the licenses change. And for the other computers, the other resources, we use the open source solution. It's free, and again, it provides the same access. OpenOffice is compatible with Microsoft Office, about 90%. I call it a 90% solution. You get a few font issues, maybe a tab issue here and there. But for the most part, whatever the kids would do in Microsoft Office, they can do in OpenOffice. And then they're also compatible with each other, so it allows them to share the work.
So how many desktops have you actually put OpenOffice on, and where are you in terms of years and in terms of rolling this out?
We have about, 112 computers that we have Office products on. 30% of them are running OpenOffice right now. The rest of them are running either older versions of Office, like Office 97, and those will be converted probably to OpenOffice. And then the only thing that we're going to remain with the Microsoft is we have two computer labs that actually teach business tools, and those computer labs will remain Microsoft Office.
From a hardware standpoint, RAM, all that, how low in the capability realm are you going with OpenOffice and still having success with it running?
We're running it on 450 megahertz P2s and P3s with 128 megs of RAM.
Okay.
So it's a little slow on the startup. That's one of the biggest things the students notice is you click on it and you got to wait a few seconds for it to get going. But once it's up, it runs just fine. And the file size is actually smaller than Microsoft. The footprint's smaller than Microsoft. So on some of the lower end machines, it actually runs better than the Office product.
Are your students saving in the OpenOffice format, or going ahead and saving in the .doc, .ppt, Microsoft formats?
We're having them save in the Microsoft formats for now, just for the simplicity, so that they can transfer to the Microsoft products. However, a lot of the kids have learned that this is free, so now they're using it at home. And their parents appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, that hit me a while back when I was, looking in an old computer lab and saw one of those "Don't copy that floppy" poster, and I thought, open source, that's a little bit different, because you can say, yes, please, take that software product and install it at home and utilize it. How easily have the kids taken to this, and what has the teacher response been, and has that been different as far as their receptivity and readiness, I guess, to basically change?
Well, the kids find it a lot easier than the adults do. You just have to, once they figured out that they need to save it in the Microsoft format so they can take it back to their computer lab, that was the only issue the kids had. Some of the teachers have taken to it very well because it is very close to the Microsoft product and they're fairly computer savvy. Others, not so well. But that's expected.
Right.
And but nobody has just flat balked and said, no, we're not going to do this. And again, forgetting the superintendent to allow this, it was a physical interest.
Mm-hmm.
How can we cut our technology cost without cutting our technology commitment to our students.
Right.
Open source is a way to do that. You can provide operating systems, desktops, word processors, and teach the exact same concepts without incurring the annual rental cost that you get through a licensing program.
Any tips that you would, I think we're about to have a bell go off here, but lastly, any tips that you would give people who would be embarking on a similar project?
Be brave. Just do it. It's not that hard. It just takes a little bit of time, and it takes just a commitment that you want to get it done right.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Moving at the Speed of Creativity podcasts are independently produced and syndicated for a global audience by Wesley Fryer and are shared under a Creative Commons Attribution 2.5 license. Learn more at www.speedofcreativity.org.